This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
We're going to be with you for a little while today, speaking to you about low code, no code. Some of you might be going, what?
Me too. So I'm going, what?
What? So we're going to give you an explanation as to what this is. Now, digital transformation is not only an ongoing process. It's vital for the survival of many enterprises in this day and age. But while many businesses are keen to convert their offline workflow to an online one, certain barriers to entry and the technological divide have made it difficult to do so. One solution may lie in a concept called low-code, no-code, a method that's apparently on the cusp of entering the mainstream and supercharging digital transformation. So we've been highlighting this need for, you know, digital transformation since the start of the pandemic. And it looks like we're going to be talking about it a lot more based on the way things are going. So back on June the 1st, the government and Microsoft announced the My Digital GovTech Innovation Partnership as a way to echo their commitment to innovation, digital skills and building economic resilience for Malaysia. So this announcement followed the letter of intent signed between Microsoft and My Digital Corporation during Prime Minister Tun Sri Ismail Sabri's Yaakob visit to the United States in May 2022. Microsoft said that the letter of intent identified areas of collaboration, including developing cybersecurity capabilities, something we are in great need of, driving the adoption of digital technologies by the public sector, and nurturing skilled talent to grow the digital economy. Microsoft and key government agencies such as My Digital Corporation and the Malaysian Administrative Modernization and Management Planning Unit, that's not a mouthful at all, will equip civil servants with digital skills and training to support the nation's aspiration for inclusive, responsible and sustainable development.
And according to Dato' Sri Mustafa Muhammad, who is a minister in the Prime Minister's Department in Economy, they say our long-standing partnership with Microsoft enables the civil service to be more innovative, data-driven and people-centric in finding solutions as well as formulating effective policies, including their commitment to train 300,000 people by 2024 with the Human Resource Development Corporation. Now, this is all in line with the targets outlined in the 12th Malaysia Plan and Malaysia's Digital Economy Blueprint as well. I've caught your bug, yes. I suppose, of just messing up words, I guess, today. The targets included 80% adoption of cloud storage across the government in 2022, 100% digital literacy among civil servants, as well as 80% end-to-end online government services by 2025.
I'm sorry.
Yep. Microsoft noted that the partnership was also in addition to the cloud framework agreement signed between the company and the earlier organization we talked about, shorthand Mampu, to create a trust cloud network and empower Malaysia's public sector in its digital transformation journey.
Now, one major problem that many enterprises face with their respective digital transformation journeys is a tough barrier to adoption. There's a steep learning curve and upskilling process that needs to happen with most employees, especially if a company-wide digital overhaul is in the pipeline. One promising solution that has popped up is something called low-code/no-code. And it's exactly what it sounds like. Low-code, no-code solutions have addressed and resolved one of the most common problems in the information technology sector, the availability of experienced developers and engineers. Also, individuals with basic coding experience can become developers. Low-code, no-code platforms are a subset of visual software development environments, enabling non-technical individuals to accomplish tasks that previously required coding skills. So this significantly reduces the time required for executives to translate their needs via numerous layers of an organization. These technologies enable more people across multiple divisions inside the business to create a seamless and enhanced customer experience.
Mm. And as we progress, low-code or no-code can significantly impact and reinvent future customer experiences. When integrated with other solutions such as conversational AI and automation, the utility of this robust solution is amplified, and it provides more intuitive business interfaces that enable more automation and rapid adoption, along with enhanced knowledge-based advice that improves agent efficiency and accuracy. But the thing is, low code or no code or minimal code or whatever you want to call it is not exactly mainstream yet. It's getting there, but awareness seems to be the biggest issue in its way. So on that note, after the break, we'll be getting in touch with Suresh Sambandam, CEO of KissFlow, which is an SaaS provider that helps organizations manage all their work on a unified platform so that they can give us some insights on this low code, no code revolution and how it can potentially aid with rapid digital transformation.
All right. Stick around, folks, if you want to find out what low-code, no-code is, as we do here from Suresh. And if you have any questions for us, we can try and get us via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Get us on Twitter at BFM Radio. We're going to take a short break with some music from Simply Red and Stars. We'll be back here in just a few moments on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Baba from Malacca, BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Digital transformation is not only an ongoing process, it's vital for the survival of many enterprises in this day and age. But while many businesses are keen to convert their offline workflow to an online one, there are certain barriers to entry, and the technological divide has made it difficult to do so. One solution may lie in the concept called low code, no code, a method that's apparently on the cusp of entering the mainstream and supercharging digital transformation. Me and Chris have given you a bit of a background as to what it is, but we thought it might be a bit smarter to find out a little bit more for ourselves. So we're hearing from Suresh Sambandam, who's on the phone with us. He's the CEO of KissFlow. They're a software-as-a-service provider that helps organizations manage all their work on a unified platform. So, Suresh, in your own words, what's the easiest way to explain both low-code and no-code?
First, I want to talk about the oldest low-code, no-code is actually your spreadsheets, right? If you really look at business users, without realizing that they are programming, they are actually programming and using spreadsheets, okay? And that is what is happening. Now, for application development, if you fast forward 20 years in the journey of spreadsheets, right? 20 years ago, it was spreadsheets. Now, low-code, no-code platform is doing the same thing for developing applications, where you are building applications without realizing that you are actually programming. The technology is improved so much, right? So that normal business users who don't know programming, who don't know coding, are able to build applications. That's really what low-code, no-code is doing to the market.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So Suresh, what are some tech advancements that have allowed for no-code and low-code? Why wasn't this available 10 to 15 years ago?
Yeah. So when we talk about 15 years ago versus today, what we're really talking about, not just technology advancements, we are also talking about demographic change. Okay, what that really means? What it really means is, in today's generation, the Gen Z, right? These kids are born in digital. They are born natively digital. And what is difficult for a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old is natural for this demographics. So, why low-code, no-code is now feasible is because of two parallel factors that is happening in the marketplace. One factor is technology advancements, essentially visual development, drag and drop tools, cloud as an infrastructure where services can be orchestrated anywhere remotely, without having to worry about the complexity of hosting, scaling, performance, and all of that. So, on one hand, those technology advancements has made things simple. On the other hand, the changed demographics of the users, essentially getting in as a digital native users who understand technology naturally, it comes naturally to them. When you combine both these two paradigms or parallel changes that has happened in the marketplace, you know, low code, no code has become a very compelling reality. That's really what we're talking about here.
Okay, Suresh, so if this catches on, what happens to legacy systems and old code? How do they port over?
So the success of low code, no code is manifold, right? First of all, it allows what is called as the legacy modernization, right? At a cost that is very affordable. The biggest challenge in legacy modernization or legacy systems is that to modernize them, the amount of cost and time it's going to take is phenomenal. And it precludes anyone to embark on that journey. The second thing that is possible with low code, no code is that the legacy systems can be exposed as services so that the low code, no code platforms simply can consume those services without having to replace them, but provide modern front ends, usable experiences to their end users by building composite applications using the low code, no code platforms. So in both ways, legacy systems can be modernized completely from a ground up development into low code, no code, or you can keep them, expose them as services and consume those services and build composite applications which will give you better user experience. And both these things are happening as far as legacy systems are concerned.
Mm-hmm. So what kinds of skills or expertise is required to learn low code or no code? And how easy is it to upskill in this area?
One of the important aspects of low-code, no-code platforms is that it's very easy to learn. Of course, easy is a relative factor. There are platforms which only requires a day of learning, and there are platforms that require you to do a proper certification, and it probably take 2 months of learning. As far as Kissflow is concerned, it will probably take a couple of days for someone to learn low-code, no-code platform. Now, even in this learning, I would say 80% or 90% of functionality can be learned easily because it's just drag and drop. The learning difficulty would come only in cases where there is some coding expected to make the application a lot more powerful than what you want, right? The other area where the learning difficulty will be higher is whenever you have to build some solutioning which requires data modeling knowledge and stuff like that. Of course, for a professional IT developer who works in enterprise IT, it's going to be a cakewalk. All I'm talking about is business users who are building low-code, no-code applications. For them, in few days, they can actually learn it and build those applications pretty much, at least 80 to 90% of the functionality that they require. The last 20% might require some more additional learning for programming and making it a lot more powerful. Another angle to this expertise question is actually also the knowledge, especially the domain knowledge that is required to build these applications. See, most of the time, the businesses have the domain knowledge and they have to somehow communicate that to IT developers to build the applications in the past, that is prior to the low-code, no-code era. But when they do that, a lot of things gets lost in the translation. In the low-code, no-code paradigm, business users already have the domain knowledge. The only the technical knowledge they're learning, and hardly it is few days. Once they learn that, they're building the applications. The beauty is they're able to make some compromises which they normally won't compromise when an IT team is building it on their behalf. And this phenomenally cut down cycle time. And the applications go live in 1/10 of the time when compared to what it used to happen faster. So one of the reasons that low-code, no-code is a paradigm change is not just the technology change, it's not just the demographic change, but it also brings the people who have the knowledge with respect to the domain closer to the technology and eliminates all the unnecessary noise and translation and everything so that people who have the ideas can convert that into working applications. And that's really the power of low-code, no-code.
Got it. Okay, On that note, Suresh, we are just going to take a short break and have a music break with a little bit of Pulp and some Common People. If you want to get in touch with us, get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899, and Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. We'll be back in around 5 minutes or so. We've got some more questions for Suresh. Stay on the line with us, Suresh. We're back in just a moment here on BFM 89.9.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Now, we've been highlighting the need for intense digital transformation since way before the start of the pandemic, and it looks like we've been talking a little bit about it a lot more based on the way that things are going. Of course, digital transformation is not only an ongoing process, it's vital for the survival of many enterprises in this day and age. We've been speaking with Suresh. It is Suresh Sambandam. He's the CEO of Kissflow, a software as a service provider that helps organizations manage all their work on a unified platform. He's been talking to us a little bit about low code and no code. So Suresh is still on the phone with us right now.
Yes. So Suresh, in terms of digital transformation, what are some examples of how this will help businesses?
When we are talking about digital transformation, it often comes across as a lofty goal, but in practice, it is very, very slow. The reason why it is very, very slow is because very rarely the entire spectrum of enterprise users are involved in the digital transformation. What do I mean by that? If you really look at the enterprise market, there are 26 million developers and there are 500 million business users. Now, the fastest way and the most easiest way to do digital transformation is to involve all the 500 million people in the digital transformation. Unfortunately, there is no inclusive approach of bringing business and IT together to do this digital transformation. So what is this inclusive approach? If you really look at the enterprise landscape, the personas are starting from end users, teams, team leads, process experts, IT developers, and so on. But traditional digital transformations are trying to do a siloed approach of providing tools for each one of these segments and not having an integrated platform to address the needs of the entire spectrum. A good example of a beautiful digital transformation is you have a platform where end users are able to collaborate digitally with other users through some sort of a collaboration platform or chat platform. And they're able to use bots and then ask for updates. And when an approval request comes, an approval bot puts a notification into the system and you're able to approve it inside the chat itself. And suddenly somebody thinks about a new project that they're planning. They're able to create a quick Kanban board and then put the task and share it to 5-10 people in their company and then be able to instantly bring all those tasks that used to be non-digital into the digital paradigm. So these are the varying needs of a digital transformation that happens in an enterprise. And all of this are being done on a piecemeal basis and not as an integrated platform by bringing all these capabilities together and also bringing all these user personas together. And unless we do that, digital transformation is not going to be a smooth process. It's going to be a lot of hiccups.
And what do you think, or can you give us some tips for enterprises seeking to implement low code and no code?
For enterprises that are looking to adopt low-code, no-code platform or technology, I would like to give like 5 tips. First tip is, it is important to think low-code, no-code is not a replacement for IT. It is not IT versus business. It's not the cat and mouse play here. It is IT and business. It is the power of two that is important. That is the power of bringing IT and business together. The low-code, no-code platforms need to be a business technology that takes business to the next level. So that is point number one to keep in mind. The second, if governance is not baked into low-code, no-code platforms, the entire implementation will go nightmare and it will go spaghetti. So IT will have to play a key role as far as governance is concerned to making sure low-code, no-code is adopted in a systematic, organized fashion across the enterprise. So again, there is a critical role for IT to play here. That is point number two. Third, you got to choose a plug and play cloud native platform so that you are not worried about availability. You have taking advantage of the lower cost of ownership. lower total cost of ownership. It's called TCO, right? And the most important thing is when you pick cloud native solutions, you are bound to take advantage of the feature richness, because most of the solutions today use a lot of cloud services, and those services don't work well if you go for an on-premise kind of a deployment, because you're going to be locked down to proprietary functionalities the platform provider is going to provide. And you won't be able to cross-leverage all the cloud services that is available, and that services are sort of exponentially exploding by the day. And the point number four is essentially, it is not a point solution approach. You shouldn't think about low-code, no-code as, hey, I want to just build one vendor portal. I just buy one low-code, no-code platform, just build that vendor portal. Because you won't get the ROI, you won't get the benefit of a low-code, no-code platform if you start thinking about low-code, no-code as just a one-trick pony. It's a platform choice. You need to think about it as an enterprise platform decision that you're making for the entire organization. And the fifth one is sort of the end strategy or the end outcome that you're looking at, which is when you think about low-code, no-code, you need to think about as an end-to-end a digital transformation of your enterprise. Unless you have that vision, low-code, no-code won't really be a game changer for your organization. It'll be like a incremental performance enhancer or a productivity enhancer. But what you really need is an exponential outcome provider. If that needs to happen, you need to think about low-code, no-code as an end-to-end digital transformation providing platform.
Mm-hmm. So final question for you, Suresh. When do you see low-code and no-code becoming a mainstream option or the default solution?
The low-code, no-code paradigm is already getting pretty close to mainstream, right? It's no longer a hype curve. It's actually come to the mainstream. It's actually growing exponentially year on year. If you look at Gartner prediction, about 50% of enterprises will adopt some form of low-code application development by 2023. That means you're really looking at close to 500 million apps that are getting developed in that time frame with a $20 billion or so investment. So that's the kind of explosive growth that we are looking at. But if you really have to take it to the next level and become mainstream, it needs to become like the way spreadsheets have percolated into enterprises. If you really look at spreadsheets, every single employee who works inside a company uses a spreadsheet, which means there is an inclusive approach of including all the business users and end users and the IT teams. All of them co-create and use spreadsheets to digitally operate their enterprise today, right? And low-code, no-code platform needs to get the similar adoption to get that exponential results. To unlock the full potential of the low-code, no-code platform, the business users and the IT users have to come together in a single platform so that they can build sophisticated applications as well as simple applications and not worry about old-school technologies.
Okay. Thank you very much, Suresh. That was Suresh Sambandam, the CEO of Kissflow. They're a software as a service provider that helps organizations manage all their work on a unified platform. Now, it's pretty much time for me and Chris to wrap up for today's show. If you did miss any part of the show, don't forget you can download the podcast wherever you normally get it from. We recommend the BFM app. It's available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill Replay. Chris, do you want to highlight what that is?
Yes. So the Breakfast Grill Replay will feature Traveloka. Indonesian online travel startup Traveloka has grown over the past decade into a $3 billion unicorn with presences across Southeast Asia and Australia. With the regional travel and tourism industry slow to pick up in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, Traveloka has been biding its time by strengthening its evolution into a travel super app. All that and more on the Breakfast Grill Replay.
Indeed. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow at noon. To take us out of the show, it is Rilo Kiley with Silver Lining here on Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.